Psalm 51. A lot of you probably know this psalm by heart. I'll be looking at different verses as we go along this morning. They used to sing a song and said, "Time has made a change," and it has. I don't think all the change is bad, but I certainly don't think all the change is good either. When I was a boy going to school, almost every homeroom teacher that I had, or every teacher that I had, at the beginning of the school year would do the same thing. They would take a piece of chalk, stand before a blackboard, and they would start writing down certain things that you could not do in their classroom. And then beside of what they wrote down that you could not do, they would write the punishment for it beside of it. Sometimes it was standing in the choir. I hope that I don't scare some of these younger parents to death, because what they did at school then, it sure has changed. But by the way, we didn't have to worry about anybody carrying a gun to school. You know, there were simple things like you couldn't chew gum. You all remember that? It wasn't the chewing the gum, it's what you did with it when you got tired of it. You remember that? Where did it go? Under the seat, under the desk. So no chewing gum in class. And it would have a punishment, maybe standing in the corner, something like that. But then they would get to the more severe cases, where they would have things like if you were caught fighting, you got a paddling. And for each offense, they'd put how many, they called it licks, that you got. You all remember this, don't you? And the big thing about that was who was the one giving the licks? Because it wasn't always the number, it was who was applying the punishment that made the difference. In other words, they were telling us that if you do this, there will be a consequence to it. Now, you may not like that, you may not agree with it. Civil Liberties hates it, but by the way, I hate what they do too, so we're equal. We're thank all three of you for the amen. It's just about ruined this country. In fact, I don't know how we're going to get good teachers in the future, because a lot of them are just not going to put up with it. I mean, they're not going to get paid what they get paid on the low salaries that they're getting paid. Every teacher ought to shout right there and go in and risk your life every day. I mean, sooner or later, it's going to collapse in this country. I am preaching this morning already. You're just not awake. But this will catch. I see constantly everywhere I go, click it or ticket. That means if you get caught without your seatbelt on, it is the law in the state of Ohio. When you're in your vehicle, click your seatbelt, and if you don't, they're going to give you a ticket. They're telling you up front, if we catch you without your seatbelt on, you're going to get a ticket. You're going to be fined. Now the big thing is, since the gas prices have gone so high, by the way, don't you feel sorry for those poor gas companies? That poor CEO retired the other day and only got $400 million. That's a fact. That ought to be a crime in any nation. I'll ride it until the day I die. That any nation that abuses your older folks and your poor folks, they'll answer to God for those kind of things. And no matter what they tell you, it's pure greed. Don't let anybody put a political spin on it. It's pure greed. Companies are absolutely gouging us. Thank you very much. But anyone that owns a gas station knows they're not the ones making the money. In fact, when it goes higher, people have a tendency to drive off without paying for their gas. So now I see big signs up everywhere. Drive-offs will be prosecuted. I see in stores constantly, shoplifters will be prosecuted. When I was a kid growing up, it seemed like people back then had such a dispute over property lines. Boy, property lines were a big thing. You know, I've actually seen people get angry because somebody mowed 6 feet over into their lawn. They can mow my whole lawn if they want to. Big deal. Hey, I mean, I'm talking, when I was raised at a time where that was a right to call the pistols out. Some people absolutely got that upset. And if you think they don't get that upset, I know we've got a couple township trustees here. You just ask them if they think somebody got on their property, how many times they get called out over property disputes. Attorneys here in the church will tell you it's a common thing over inches. Inches. So what they would do is if they wouldn't like that, they would put up signs. Trespassers will be prosecuted. Now, when I was a little boy, there was a, and I was little once upon a time, there was a fella that owned a large tract of land right beside of the state forest that I was raised on. And in that tract of land, he had one of the best ponds, fishing ponds, in the whole county. He had bass that every bass you caught was 3, 4, and 5 pounds. Don't ask me how I know that. Because we were told, don't you ever go down there. He was an old gentleman and he was mean. Now, I don't know if he'd do anything to you, but he made you think he would do something to you. He did not have a sign up that said, trespassers will be prosecuted. He was about a mile and a half off the main road, and you had to go through. It was terrible to get there, but it was worth it if you got there. But when you finally got to the path, entering to his place, he had a big sign up. Like a 4x8 sign. And it had trespassers will be prosecuted, and the word trespassers was X'd out. And at the top of it, he had handwritten with paint, survivors. Will be prosecuted. I had some fellows that tested him one time, and they thought they would go out in broad daylight and try it. Now, I don't know if he was shooting at him, and I don't know if it was against the law, but I know there was shots fired. Whether in the air at them, I don't know. They declare he was shooting at them, but we never were tempted to ever go on that property past that sign because survivors will be prosecuted. For some reason, I had the feeling that he meant what he said. Now stay with me for just a minute. We live in a day today where I'm going to ask you a question. Can a person sin and get by with it? Boy, we heard a lot of no's. Well, then why do so many people live in sin? Because our head says no, but people's actions say, I can do what I want, and there'll never be a consequence to my sin. Now, I reverence King David. I reverence his play in Scripture. But I'm here to tell you, if anybody knew about sin, David knew about sin. This psalm deals with a man that had been to the bottom when it come to the consequences of sin. And he'd reached a place where he knew there was a price to be paid for sin. David, it is common fact, David had a problem of the flesh. He had a problem with lust. You have been reading your Bible every day, haven't you? It's in it. Man, I was reading the other day and it just absolutely blew me away when I read it again. And I you know, it's one of those things that you read it all your life, but it really clicks on to tell you how far widespread that was known in the kingdom. When David was dying, they didn't know if he was dead or not. They couldn't tell if he was dead, but they knew he had a problem with the flesh. And you know what they said? Go get a young girl and put her in bed with him. And when David didn't try to do anything to the girl, they said, he's got to be dead. Now, that's a fact. How did they know that? Because he had a problem that was so apparent in his early years with the flesh. Boy, I'm feeling God this morning. And that had drugged him down. Now, everyone doesn't have that problem. It's not always the sin of adultery. There's so much sin. The Bible puts it this way. If you ever have a question as to what is right and what is wrong, what is sin and what is not, it's real easy. To him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, it is sin. And we know, and most people carry on. They get to a place where they know that they've sinned. But here's the problem. They say, yeah, there is a consequence. The wages of sin is death. That's one consequence. And the problem with it is, as long as they're not dying, they think that they really haven't sinned, because if I would have sinned, I would have died immediately. But David teaches us in this psalm, there's a lot of consequences to sin. There's some things that you will pay simply because you're involved in sin. Can a person sin? Can a Christian sin? Can a Christian sin and get by with it? Can an unsaved person sin and get by with it? What happens when you sin? David went through a number of things. He sure did. Look, if you will, in verse 2. Let's start there. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Only one reason I know why you wash something. It's dirty. He says again in verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be made clean. And I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. In verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart. You know the first thing that he tells us? He says that sin soils the soul. He's not talking about a dirty body. He's talking about a dirty heart. The actions of his flesh, the actions of his body had soiled his heart. And that's the problem, friend. You can clean up the outside, but you can't do anything about the heart. I'm glad folks have a desire to try to do better and turn their life around. And I hear this so much. When I get everything cleaned up, preacher, I'm going to come to God. But the truth of the matter is, you can't get everything cleaned up. Your heart is black with sin. And you can't wash the sin that's in your heart. You can't cleanse the sin that's in your heart. The things that you've done that have soiled your heart, you can't do anything about it. But thank God I know somebody that can do something about our hearts. That when we come clean with God and say, Lord, I have sinned, there is power in the blood of Jesus to wash away our every sin and to make us white as snow. And the Lord says, I'll do more than clean you. I'll give you a brand new heart and create a new heart inside of you. A heart of flesh and not a heart of stone. So no matter how soiled that your heart is, the Lord can do something about it today. It soils the soul. Something else in verse 3. He said, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. It saturates the mind. That's all you can think about. You're sitting here today, and I'm trying to tell you there's hope in the Lord, and there's peace in God, and there's a way you can have forgiveness, but still you've got a blank expression on your face because you're thinking about that sin that has a hold of you. It seems so great that you've tried to do it by yourself. You've tried to quit it by yourself, and you can't quit it. It's on your mind when you're awake. That's what you're thinking about. Even though that you know you shouldn't have done it, it's still on your mind, and you can't get free from it. So thank God we not only have somebody that can do something about our heart, He can do something about our mind. He can free our mind from the sin that holds us in bondage and sets us free. God can give us perfect liberty in Him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Himself the form of a servant, humbled Himself and become obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. My friend, Jesus died to not only cleanse our heart, but transform our mind. I think different since I've been saved. I think different about my sin since I've been saved. I couldn't do anything about it. I wish I wouldn't have done certain things. But one thing about it, when I start to feel that way, my mind tells me, but there is coming a day when the Lord will look at the devil and say, go ahead and accuse him. For when that day when the books are opened, I'll say, what sin are you talking about? They've been washed away by the blood of Jesus. But as long as there's sin that's not cleansed, it's on your mind. Don't sit there and tell me it's not on your mind. God said, I'll bring it before you constantly. We call that conviction. That's the first step. You've got to see it before you'll do anything about it. So God gives you a spiritual CAT scan. And He burns the image in your mind. And He said, my sin is ever before me. Then look what else it does. Verse 4. Against thee only have I sinned. It stains the conscience. Something in his mind said, you say, now wait a minute. He was guilty of adultery and sins of the flesh, and he's saying against thee and thee only. You've got to understand something. When you sin against a holy God. And God has given us the wonderful gift of our conscience. Where immediately God says, wait a minute, you did wrong to me. David realized that. Lord, I've sinned against you. The only problem with the conscience, it can become seared with a hot iron. It can get scarred. You can override it. But David realized it was troubling his conscience. Let's look at something else. Also in verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness. That the bones... Now watch this. The bones which who? Thou hast broken. Who's he praying to? God. God broke his bones. The bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. I tell you something else sin does. It sickens the body. Now, not all sickness is because of sin. But there is sickness that's a result from sin. We're in the flesh and the flesh decays. But you know good and well there are certain things that when you go through it, boy, I tell you, I want to be gentle and I want to be kind, but I just got to be honest. If you don't want HIV, if you don't want AIDS, you do what's right. Now I realize, I know there's that small group that they're hemophiliacs and there's people that work in the medical profession that they could come in contact, but the majority of that is brought on by unbiblical conduct. I'm trying to be very polite. And the conduct that you come, and I get so tired, if you only knew how many calls I get in a year of people that are absolutely broken because they think they have hepatitis or they've come in contact with AIDS and they're brokenhearted. And if you knew how many people promised me that if everything come back all right, they'd serve the Lord, we'd need a church three times this size right now. Because they knew, even if they came to that point where they came down with that particular disease wasn't because of an accidental contact with something. They deliberately did it to themselves. See, if you drink long enough, you will destroy your liver. I wish you'd help me preach. I mean, you take enough drugs, eventually your body will shut down on you. There are sins that will attack your body. Many of you know good and well, it is because of the things that you did in sin that your body is destroyed today. Even though the Lord has forgiven you, it's the things you did in sin that absolutely left you as a physical cripple because sin sickened your body. So it can destroy your body. terrible thing to watch people's bodies destroyed because of sin. Sit there and look at them and see them fall away to where they practically weigh nothing. Look like a cancer patient in the last days of life. And sores all over them where they think there's bugs crawling on them, and they pinch to kill it until there's sores on their face. Not able to eat food. Rot their digestive system out. Sin's an awful thing. Sin can sicken the body. In fact, I advise you to do this. Now, you don't have to do it, but if I so much as get the flu, the first thing I do is check my heart. Because I feel like I'm going to die. And I want to make sure there's nothing. But you know, if sickness comes as a natural part of the body, I know I can come to the Lord and say, Lord, listen, you have the power to do all things. I want you to heal me. But if it is a result of sin, and listen, don't get out of line with me. James says that when we anoint with oil, not only does the prayer of faith save the sick, but if they have committed any sin, it shall be forgiven them. So he's saying there's some people that the reason that they need the healing in their body is because they need forgiveness of sin. By the way, that makes me wonder. Someone said here a while back, they ridiculed me. They heard that I had anointed someone that wasn't a Christian. Boy, we just got the most wonderful theologians running around today. I'm here to tell you, there's some things God's asked me to do that I don't understand why. But I know one thing, when I went to him, I said, I'd be glad to. First thing we got to do is take care of the sin. Because the oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. What he's saying is the Holy Spirit can't flow through your body to heal your body if there's sin in your life. The same power of God that heals the body is also the same power of God that indwells a believer, and he can indwell a body that is filled with sin. I'm preaching now. You've got to do something about the sin. I use every opportunity that no matter what comes this way to be a tool, to be a witness for the Lord and tell people this is why you do this. It's a means not only to have your body healed, but to have your sin forgiven. Sickens the body. Something else. I got to go quick. Verse 10. I said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Something else that sin does, it sours the spirit. I believe this is written in particular to Christian people. Because how I can tell if you've been out there doing what you ought not do, gossiping, lying, cheating, you get sour. There's no joy of the Lord anywhere. And the truth of the matter is, I see you in the world at worldly events, and you're happy. If you get more happy at a ball game than you do at a church when someone gets saved, you've got a bad spirit. You sure do. Sin has soured your spirit. You're talking about something of eternal value for someone to walk down this aisle. I couldn't wait to get here today because I have prayed this week, and I feel our people pray that today's going to be the day for someone to meet our wonderful Savior and have their life changed forever and their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm only going to go to heaven together with them forever. Oh, bless His name. That does something in my soul. But it will sour your spirit. You'll get to the place where you don't enjoy spiritual things. My wife is so good to me. She watches out for me and tries to make sure anymore I try to eat the right things and do the right things. And you know, I got this craving for pudding. I don't understand it. I never liked pudding, but I want pudding. And she found some new pudding. And she thought she would try it before I tried it. Hey, can I tell you something? Everything with splendor in it is not splendid. That was the nastiest. And she told me, she said, don't eat that. I think it's soured. And I look at the date on it, and the date is good. Now, if the date is good, what's that tell you? Go for it. The date's good. It's not expired. One spoonful told me it's sour. Have you ever drunk soured milk? You ever get it by accident? You don't want milk for a while, do you? I mean, you ever get something that's just soured? Something that's not good. You don't want it for a while. That's what happens to you. That's why you don't want more church. That's why you don't want more blessings. Because your spirit is soured. You're bitter. Doesn't taste good to you. But let me tell you, folks, when you're right with God, it sure does taste good to you. When you come and sit in the house of God and see folks get blessed and see people get saved, you talk about something that really, really touches your taste buds. It's just right. So my wife took it back to the store. We ought to never take anything back. And she said, this isn't good. And the lady said, well, would you like to replace it with more? No. I don't think he'll be eating any for a while. Soured. Something else it does. Verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He'd lost his joy. So that tells me that sin saddens the heart. There's no joy without the Lord. A person that lives in sin and thinks they're happy is only deceived. Because the pleasure's in sin's just for a season. He said, Lord, I want joy back. Something else it does. Let's read the next verse. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. He's saying, Lord, you've upheld me now. You've restored the joy. When I get that back, I'll start teaching transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall what? Sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips. Open thou my lips. Open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Do you know what he said sin did to him? Sealed his lips. He stopped teaching. He quit telling. He quit witnessing. He not only stopped teaching, he stopped singing. And then last he said, I'll praise. I'll give thee thy praise. He stopped praising. You know why some of you can't jump up this morning and raise your hand and say, glory to God? Sin seals your lips. Do you know why some of you can't go to the job place tomorrow and say to those that work around you, hey, why don't you come and go to church with me to Rubyville? I'd love for you. You can't do that because they'd look at you and say, you go to church? It'll shut your mouth up. Sin will always talk. You're not going to witness to somebody. I mean, come on. Do you really think you're going to go play poker with them Saturday night and invite them to church on Sunday morning? What kind of witness do you think you have on a bar stool? They're going to say, you're in the same old mud hole I'm in. What good would it do me to go there? I'd wind up drinking just as much the next week as I do this week. It'll shut your mouth. It'll cause you to stop praising God. There's nothing worse than fake praise. praise that you cannot feel and praise that you cannot experience. But I'm here to tell you, as I sat on that seat a while ago and they were singing, the choir was singing that song, and I looked across this crowd and I saw people begin to stand and praise the Lord, and the choir stopped singing but they kept on praising. You know why? You just can't stop sometimes. It gets started in your heart, and when I think about the Lord and all that He has done for me, there comes a point where you just have to praise Him and tell Him how wonderful that He is, how much that you love Him, how much you look forward to be with Him in heaven forever.
Amen.
Sin will seal your lips. The consequences of sin. But by the way, everything that you read here, He said there's a lot of consequences, but thank God there is a cleansing. The other night, the deacons and I were in a meeting. We were talking. I don't even know what we were talking about. It was before we had business. And we were talking, and I happened to bring up something about David. And I said, you know, guys, I've been reading a lot about David. I said, he was so involved in sin. But wasn't it something how the Lord forgave him and used him? Saul was guilty of one sin. One large sin that everything stemmed off of. You know what it was? Jealousy. But the time he did it, God rejected him. I mean, he was king for years, but he'd been rejected. I heard one guy say that, as near as he could tell, it was 3 weeks after Saul was anointed king that David was anointed. In 3 weeks, God rejected him. He held out longer than a lot of you. I see a lot of them can't last a week. He rejected him. He let him go on, but he took the crown from him. Why would God do that to Saul? But David comes along, guilty of adultery and guilty of all the murder, and God used him as king. Do you know why? Saul never saw a need to seek God for forgiveness. And David, as a young man, was a man whose heart was after God. And David knew, I'm guilty. I am guilty. Sometimes you're at a place where you know you're guilty, and the worst thing that you can do is try to lie your way out of it. I got caught speeding one time. It's been years. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Been years. You slow down a little bit as you get older, you know. But the officer walked up and he said, you got a good excuse why you're doing 45 in a 35? I said, not that I can think of right now. I said, I'm kidding, buddy. I said, no, I'm speeding. He said, why? I said, that's a good question. But I'm telling you, I just flat out broke the law. I'm guilty. He looked at me and he said, you're not questioning it? I said, no. I said, what do I need to do here to pay the penalty and pay the fine? He said, do you know, I don't know, I'm just telling you what he said. He said, do you know how rare it is to pull somebody over and then just confess and say, I did it. I shouldn't have done it, but I did it. Boy, some of you are looking strange right now. I mean, really, what was I going to say? And you say, did you say that to get out of the fine? No. I didn't expect him to remove the fine. I did it. And there is a fine for doing that. My next question was, how can we make this as painless on both of us to pay the penalty under the law to get that taken care of? And he said, you can pay it. And he gave me some information. He said, or you can have a court hearing. I said, if I go to court, all I'm going to do is say I'm guilty. Because I'm guilty. Do you know how many people, though, look for a loophole? I hardly ever watch TV. I'm getting ready to close. Hardly ever watch TV. And I happened to have on Cops last night. Find out how saved you are this morning. I had on Cops last night. And they get this woman. Some of you saw it too. You probably they get this woman and a lady officer sees her buying drugs. Knows she's bought drugs. And she says, "I don't have no drugs." And she said, "Well, I'm going to search you." So she searches her and she'd seen her put the drugs in her purse. And she said, "Now, ma'am, I'm telling you, it'll be a lot better on you if you just come clean and you tell me the truth right now. It'll be a lot better on you." And she said, "Have you been to jail?" 2 years ago, she said, "But I've been clean for the past year." Said, "I was dirty the first year, but I'm clean now." And she said, "Oh, then I won't find anything in your purse." Knowing she's going to search her purse. You won't find nothing. She opens up the lady's little wallet inside, purse inside the purse, and she flips out crack cocaine. And she looks at her and says, "How'd that get in there?" What was sad, she thought that woman was going to buy that. When she'd sat right there and watched her purchase it, knew where it was at, knew what was going on. But you'd be amazed how many people think, "I'm going to keep sinning and sinning and sinning. And then when I meet God in judgment, I'm going to say, Lord, you've got the wrong DVD playing of somebody's life. That's not me. Somebody else did that." How ignorant we are to think we're going to see it and not face God and not pay for the sin that we have done. The best thing you can do today, if there's unconfessed sin in your life, is to come clean with God and to come down to this altar and say, "Lord, you know every bit of it. And I am so sorry. But wash me and I shall be made clean. Cleanse my heart, Lord. Cleanse my mind and cleanse my soul.